This chazar is like initial book of Shag, remember Yehuda Mishuk, the Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches. Bryce says, but there's once been Shabbos in the upper Galil, and he was asked 30 questions regarding the halachas of a Sukkah. He only answered 12 and responded to the other 18. He says, I've never heard an answer. Rabbi Yossi, the son of Yehuda, says he actually answered 18 and said, regarding the other 12, I've not heard an answer. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, you only pass on questions that you have heard an answer from your Rabbeim. Rabbi Eliezer said, you're forcing me to explain my conduct. And my comment is as follows. I was always first in the Beis Medrash. I never even napped in the Beis Medrash. I always was last to leave the Beis Medrash. I never engaged in idle chatter. All these qualities leading to the conclusion that he never missed a word as Rabbeim said. And he says, and I never repeated a halacha that I did not hear from my Rabbeim. They said about Rabbi Yechon Zaka, he never spoke idle chatter, he never went 4 amas without learning Torah or wearing tefillin, he was always first to the Beis Medrash, he never even took a nap in the Beis Medrash, he never thought of Torah in dirty alleyways, he was always last to leave the Beis Medrash, and no one ever saw him sitting idly because he was always sitting and learning. He would always be the one to open the door and to greet the Talmidim. He never repeated a halacha did not hear from Rabbeim, and he never said, it's time to stop learning, except Erev Pesach, so that the Talmidim should go home and put the children to sleep, and in Erev Yom Kippur, so that they should go home and eat. His Talmud Rabbi Eliezer conducted himself by following these ways as well. Abraisa said Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. 30 were so great that they were worthy to have the Shekhinah rest on them like it did on Moshe Rabbeinu. 30 of them were so great that they were worthy to have the sun stop for them as it did for Yehoshua. And the remaining 20 were somewhere in between. The greatest of them was Yonis ben Uzziel, and the smallest of them was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. It was said about Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai that he was an expert on all of Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Halachas, Lamesh, Messinai, Midrashim, the Drushes of the Torah, the Drushes of the Rabbanon, Kalvachimus, Xerashavas, Astronomy, Gematrius, the Talks of Malachim, Shadim, and Palm Trees, the Mishalim of Launderers and Foxes, used in giving Musar, and a great thing, meaning the Maaser Markova, and a small thing, which refers to the questions of Abaye and Rava. Now, if the smallest of the Talmidim was this great, how much more so was the greatest of the Talmidim? Was said about Yonis and Mazil that when he learned Torah, any bird that flew over him would be burned immediately. Zok the Mishnah, if someone sat with his head and most of his body in the sukkah, but his table was in the house, Beis Shammai say it's possibly wasn't Yoitza, Beis Hillel say it's valid. Beis Hillel said it once happened that the elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yechon ben Hacharanis, and they saw him sitting in this setup in his sukkah, and they didn't say anything to him. So obviously it must be that all agreed that even though his table was in the house, it was kosher. Beis Shammai said, actually the Zekanim of Beis Shammai did respond to him, and they said, if that's how you've always been sitting in the sukkah, you've never been yaitzed in the mitzvah sukkah in your lifetime. Zok the Mishnah, women, slaves, and minors are all potter from the mitzvah sukkah. However, a minor who doesn't need the help of his mother is chayiv in the mitzvah sukkah. Once happened that Shammai Hazokin's daughter-in-law gave birth to a boy on or right before sukkahs, and Shammai removed the roof from on top of her bed and placed schach there so that the baby should sleep in a sukkah. For the Gemara, how do we know that women and slaves are potter from sukkah? So Gemara Braisa says, if the pasuk would say Ezrach in the pasuk of Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yesh B'Sukkahs, that would mean to include even women. When the pasuk says Ha Ezrach, comes to exclude women. The word Kol comes to include Ketanim in the mitzvah of sukkah. For the Gemara Braisa regarding Kippur says Ha Ezrach comes to include women in the mitzvah of fasting because Ezrach alone would have meant only men. So you see, the inference is different. Rabbi said the halacha is actually halacha l'mash mesina, and the pasuk is only in a smachta. For the Gemara, which is the halacha and which is the drasha from the pasuk? And also, for the Gemara number two, why is halacha l'mashiach mesina or a pasuk needed altogether? Women are clearly potter from sukkah because the mitzvah says man grama, and they're chayiv the fasting kippur because women are chayiv in all mitzvahs loisaseis. So if Azoy, so why do we need a pasuk? And for the Gemara Abaye said halacha of sukkah is halacha l'mashiach mesina. Without it, we would think that the drasha of teshuka and the duru teaches that the husband and wife have to live together in the sukkah as they do in their house. Halacha l'mashiach mesina therefore teaches that women are potter from sukkah. Rava said we would think that women are chayiv in sukkah because of gzeirah shav and pesach hamisha asa hamisha asa. Halacha l'mashiach mesina therefore teaches that they're not chayiv. If sukkah is learned from the halacha l'mashiach mesina, what does the ha ezrach teach? If the Gemara teaches that geirim are chayiv in sukkah as well, why is the pasuk necessary to teach that women are chayiv to fast on Yom Kippur? The Gemara says it's needed to teach that they're included in the mitzvah of adding some fasting time to the day of Yom Kippur, meaning toisus Yom Kippurim by starting early, by ending late. This is not a lo yisase, and therefore it's a mitzvah sase shosman grama, so we have to teach that women are chayiv. In fact, the Braisa says that kol comes to include ketanim, but our mishnah says that ketanim are potter. So what's shot? And for the Gemara, the mission is discussing a cotton who is still young and need not be taught the not yet have reached chinuch. He still needs his mother's help. And the Braisa is discussing a cotton who is older, and therefore he has to be taught to keep the mitzvahs. He has a mitzvah of chinuch, and therefore he has chayiv in sukkah derabon and al chinuch. In fact, the Mara such a, it's only chayiv derabon. How can be learned from a pasuk? Mara says the pasuk is only in a smachta. The Mishnah said, "Cotton chain is tzarich le'imoy." In fact, what does it mean that a child does not need his mother's help? So Rabbi Yana's yeshiva explained that it means a child can go to the bathroom without the mother needing to be there to help him wipe himself. Rav Shimon said it means a child wakes up and doesn't call for his mother. In fact, even older children, when they wake up, they call for their mother. Mar says it means he doesn't incessantly call for his mother when he wakes up. The Mishnah said, "Ma'isa v'yolda kalosa v'chulu." Furthermore, this is a Maisa Lister, comes to contradict what was previously taught. And furthermore, the Mishnah is missing words and should say that Shammai is machmer and says that a cotton is chayev. The story is then brought as a proof to the Shita of Shammai. Zok the Mishnah, for the 7 days of Sukkot, one must treat his Sukkot as his fixed residence and his house as his temporary residence. At what point may one leave a Sukkot because of rain? For the Mishnah, and for the Mishnah, when it's raining hard enough to ruin his soup. Zok the Mishnah, being forced to leave the Sukkot due to rain, is like a slave who pours a cup of wine for his master and he pours a pitcher of water on his face. What exactly this means, we'll see in the Gemara. Zakhtamara Brisa says for the 7 days of Sukkot, you have to treat your Sukkot as your fixed residence and the house as a temporary residence. This is done by bringing your nice utensils and cloths into the Sukkot and by eating, drinking, and spending time in the Sukkot. How do we know, Fekhtamara, that one must treat a Sukkot as a fixed residence? The Pasuk says, Teshu, which we dash into mean that you should dwell in the Sukkot, Ke'ain Tadur, as you live in your house. The Brisa then says, this is done by bringing one's nice utensils and cloths into the Sukkot, by eating, drinking, and spending time in the Sukkot, and by analyzing your learning in the Sukkot. Fekhtamara, Rava said that learning Chumash and Mishnah should be done in the Sukkot, but deeper analysis should be done outside of the Sukkah where it's easier to concentrate. Where it says the Brisa is referring to someone who's reviewing something you already learned. Rava is referring to something, to analyzing something deeply for the first time. Rava said cups may be left in the Sukkah even after using them, but eating utensils may not. Earthenware pails and wooden pails should be left outside the Sukkah, and earthenware lamp may be brought into the Sukkah. Others say that such a lamp should be left outside the Sukkah. These rulings don't argue, the Mar explains, because an earthenware lamp may be left in a large Sukkah, but not in a small Sukkah of minimum size, because in that case it's very noticeable and very disgusting.